Morning. This morning's reading is from John chapter 10, verse 11 to 18. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down, of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Jared. I'm the pastor here. Will you please join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the awesome God. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you are the good shepherd who came for your sheep, who came to die for your sheep. And we pray that as we look at this passage, Holy Spirit, you will minister to our hearts and draw us ever closer to you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. A very warm welcome to everyone who's here. It's a good day to be together. Good day to do a lot of reflecting as well. But it's an interesting name for the day that we have. I remember being a kid and thinking, why do we call it Good Friday? It seems kind of strange. It's a day on which we remember that Jesus was crucified and the excruciating pain he went through, the abandonment he experienced. And in what sense is that good? How can we call the day when the only truly innocent person to have ever lived was murdered good? How can we call that? It seems the opposite of good. It's bad. It's very bad. It's the worst. But we don't call it Worst Friday. Why? Well, I think there's because while it's the worst evil that's ever been committed by humanity, at the same time, it's the most amazing act of God's love and his kindness and his grace. And so we can call today Good Friday, not because the evil actions that humans did were good, but because the God who has the plan over everything made it so Jesus, who is God, laid down his life and takes it up again so that he can rescue us. So we're going to be looking at that passage, that John 10 passage. If you've got it open, that's great. If you don't, hopefully you'll follow along anyway as with what I'm saying. But essentially, we're going to be looking at 3 points, which is a good number for a sermon. The good shepherd, somebody told me that once. The good shepherd knows his sheep, cares for his sheep, dies for his sheep. Knows his sheep, cares for his sheep, dies for his sheep. Let's start with knows his sheep. How do you know someone? And how do you know if you know someone? There are many different ways of defining that, but intuitively, we know what it means to know someone. It can be sort of tricky to put our finger exactly on what that looks like. There's a difference between knowing someone personally and knowing of them. If you know of them, maybe you know facts about them. Maybe you know some of their likes and dislikes or how many goals they scored last season or whatever it happens to be. But that doesn't really mean we know them. But when we know someone personally, there's an intimacy, a closeness, a relationship. And that's the key, isn't it? It's a relationship. That's exactly what Jesus, as the good shepherd, has with his sheep. And a shepherd needs to know his sheep. He needs to be able to tell, who is part of his sheep and who's not. He needs to be able to look after them. And Jesus is the good shepherd. And he teaches us some astonishing things about his relationship with his sheep in this passage. Earlier in chapter 10 as well, you read more about thieves and robbers, and we also read about strangers. And unlike that whole crowd, the sheep do not know, and they don't know their voices, the relationship between the sheep and the good shepherd is one of deep knowing, a deep personal relational knowing. And so the first thing that I want to draw our attention to is the sheep know the shepherd's voice and follow him. Have a look with me in verses 3 and 4. To him, the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. We're told it a few times. The sheep know his voice, and they follow him. You can see that there's an intimacy here. Our voices carry a distinct... I mean, I told this story at our Bible study on Sunday. So when I would call my wife's home before we were married, when I'd call their home number, and she has an identical twin sister, I wouldn't know who answered the phone. But that's an anomaly. That's not the norm, you know. Now I know. But when you sometimes when you get to like talk to people, you can often tell who you're talking to, even if you can't see them. And there's a deep relational intimacy that happens through voice. What we hear is actually very distinct. So I want you to imagine catching up with an old friend. You know, say that you didn't see them and they just called your name from behind you and you just heard their voice. Perhaps they're the kind of friend that you hear before you see anyway. But there's a way in which you can know who it is even without seeing them. And here, the sheep know the shepherd's voice. There's that intimacy there. They know his voice and they also follow him. You notice that the voice of the shepherd here is also one that conveys authority. This isn't just, you know, old mate down the pub. This is the one who speaks with all authority. The one who has authority to lay down his life and take it up again. Jesus, the good shepherd, when he speaks with authority. You know, when he called the disciples and he said, follow me, and they just did it. Like, that's the authority that Jesus speaks with. And so too here with the sheep. So Jesus's people, that's who the sheep are, we know his voice which both shows us intimacy and conveys his authority. And the shepherd knows his sheep by name. How many of us have been called the wrong name? Maybe at school or by your grandparents or by your parents. The number of times I've been called Michael Jarrett. Yeah, my dad said, hey, it's fewer times for my dad. Yeah, but it's funny, isn't it? Like, so maybe when you've been at school and you've had a sibling who's like a few years ahead of you, and then you come around and then the teacher just can't shake the name from the previous student, your older sibling. It's definitely happened to people. And it's interesting, isn't it? Because we see that Jesus in this passage, he's not getting muddled up. He never gets muddled up, but he knows each individual sheep by name. He knows them by name. What an intimate and tender way to describe the relationship the shepherd has with his sheep. You know, it just makes me think of that, the picture of, I think it was like on one of Keith Green's albums where he's carrying a sheep. And Jesus, he knows and he loves his sheep. He knows them by name intimately. He doesn't think of us as livestock, but as people to relate to intimately, personally, and relationally. And that's how Jesus knows his people, by name. You're not person 6,054,195. You're Len, Lynn, Cora, Peggy. We're people that are known to God, that Jesus loves dearly and knows by name. Isn't that a wonderful thing? Have you ever stopped to think about that? How deeply intimate and personal that is? That Jesus knows his sheep by name. You know, he's not just like, oh, stupid sheep, you know, getting that. No, he loves us. He cares for us. He knows us by name. The shepherd knows his sheep just as the Father knows the Son and the Son knows the Father. Have a look with me in verses 14 to 15. I am the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me. And I know the Father. If we thought knowing by name was intimate, Here we see Jesus kick it up a notch by using a comparison. He doesn't see us as livestock, but he sees us as intimately relating to him. So intimate that the comparison he draws is his relationship with his heavenly Father. And along with whom the Holy Spirit, he's one forever and ever. And Jesus knows us with the same intimacy he knows God the Father. I mean, I would feel funny saying that if I didn't read it in the Bible because of how astonishing that claim is. Like the fact that Jesus is saying the way in which we know him is how he knows his heavenly Father. That's the intimacy there. And it's sort of like, I'm like, have I read that right? But it's definitely in there. Other people see that as well. I'm a son. You probably know my parents. I'm also a father. You probably know my son and my daughters. And to think of the intimacy of those relationships is something that's truly beautiful, isn't it? I mean, I've spoken about this before. You know, I have my playlist, I'm All Tears, instead of I'm All Ears, which is just a whole bunch of country songs that make me cry. It's funny, last week I spoke about a country concert and Kath and Rob had been to the opera the night before and I thought, that's great. Like, the Lord loves us no matter what our music tastes are, you know. Even if you like country music like me. But anyway, I find reflecting on those relationships between parents and children, it's such a deep thing. And I think for me, watching my parents become grandparents and just seeing these relationships and this generational intimacy going on, there's a real depth to those relationships, isn't there? You think, wow. It's intimate. It's that we know one another, on a deep level. We've seen one another go through good times and bad times. At my Bible college graduation, my brother was trying to make me laugh, which he did successfully. I was actually crying. I think people just thought I was emotional, but really it was just my brother was making me laugh. But there's an intimacy in these relationships. But Jesus doesn't just use the example of any father and any son. He uses the example of the Father and the Son. God the Father and God the Son. And it's his divine, intimate, personal relationship that defines the relationship we enjoy with him as shepherd and us as his sheep. We're less livestock and more heirs. We're less sleep outside in the paddock and more come inside my Father's house. The shepherd and the sheep picture we have here is not any old combo, but such an astonishing picture of intimacy that Jesus speaks of it using the example of his relationship with his heavenly Father. Wow, what intimacy that Jesus offers us with God. And that's possible because of his Holy Spirit, who comes to live in us and make his home in us. Do you know the shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? Do you know his voice? Do you know Jesus, the good shepherd, like our Lord Jesus Christ knows our Heavenly Father? And do you want to? We'll keep going. He cares for his sheep. What does it look like to care for someone? Maybe you've had someone or some people look after you. I know that for Kelcher and I, our baby Clara has had some health challenges over the past couple of years. She had extra fluid in her brain, and the Lord has amazingly looked after us, and we're so grateful. And one of the ways he did that was through you guys, through the church, through our family and our friends. And whether that's by giving us meals or praying for us or gifts or words of encouragement or just being with us, we know what it is to be cared for. And that's a wonderful joy. And we're so grateful to you all for that and to God for that. And it's amazing that one of the ways that the shepherd is spoken about in this passage is caring for his sheep. He deeply loves and cares for his sheep. And it's a beautiful attribute of his character. And this is contrasted with the hired hand. So let's have a look at verses 12 to 14. It says this: "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. All right, we'll leave it there for now. So you've got the hired hand. When you think of a hired hand, think of a casual employee, if you want to put it in like today's terms. And let's say a casual employee without the best attitude. You know, people who are there to get in, do the job, get paid, get out. They don't care. I don't care what happens, you know. So long as they get paid, they're happy. It doesn't matter if the job gets done. Doesn't matter if the job gets done well. All that matters is I get my paycheck and that's that. Maybe you run a business and have employees like that. Maybe you are an employee like that. There's a difference when there's ownership, isn't there? When we have skin in the game, it makes a massive difference. If you're running a business and you don't do the work and just chill, you don't get paid. When you're an employee and you take it easy and just chill, you often still get paid until you get fired, but you still get paid. Ownership promotes care. And we see this all the time, don't we? In many areas of our lives. I saw an advert yesterday about hiding what you're doing on your phone from your boss so that your boss doesn't know that you're wasting time at work. I was like, that's a very strange advert to just be putting out there. But in short, it matters, ownership makes all the difference. We will care when we have skin in the game because the outcome matters to us. And in John 10, Jesus is comparing a hired hand to the good shepherd. So imagine the situation where you've got a hired hand, so a casual employee watching over the sheep, and a wolf turns up. And what does the hired hand think? This is above my pay grade. I'm out of here. I didn't sign up for this. This wasn't in the narrow contract I signed. There's no way I'm going to take on that wolf or do anything. I'm out of here. I'm not going to die at my casual job. Forget about it. But what does the good shepherd do, who deeply cares for his sheep? He does whatever's necessary to protect them. He came to give them abundant life, and he won't let anything stop him. Have a look at verse 14. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. We'll stop it there for now. But notice the language of ownership. He's used it up earlier in verses 3 and 4 as well. And that isn't meant to make us feel degraded, like, oh, we're just some property, like, you know, that he doesn't care about. It's actually the opposite. It's meant to show us how much he does care about us. He's intimately invested in the outcome for us. He wants life for us. He wants abundant life for us. He's not indifferent. He's not like the hired hand who shrugs his shoulders and goes, oh, well, not my problem. No, he loves his sheep. He cares for his people deeply. And belonging to the Good Shepherd is the best place we can be. We all belong to someone or something. We all live our lives focused on someone or something. The best one we can belong to is the Good Shepherd, the one who truly cares for us, the one who truly gives us a life and life abundantly. Who do you belong to? Do you belong to the Good Shepherd? Are you one of his sheep? And speaking of the Good Shepherd not allowing anything to happen to his sheep, we now get to our final point. He dies for his sheep. You'll notice in this passage, the thieves and the robbers want to kill the sheep. If you look at verse 10, it says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. So the thieves and the robbers, their aim is destroy the sheep, kill the sheep. The hired hand that we've just looked at, he doesn't care if the sheep live or die. He just wants to save his own bacon. Mixed metaphors a bit there. But he doesn't care about the sheep's lives. He cares about his own life. So you've got the thieves and the robbers who are actively trying to kill the sheep. You've got the hired hand who doesn't care whether they live or die. And then you've got the good shepherd who loves the sheep so much that he's willing to give everything. So he lays down his life for his sheep. That verse 14 tells us, I'm the good shepherd. I know my own and my own know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. You can imagine the picture, can't you? the shepherd giving his life in place of the sheep that they can live. He's not going, oh, well, I'll just kind of let one or two die or whatever. No, he's going, I'll die. I'll die in their place so that they can live. That's the good shepherd. That's Jesus. And he does it willingly. Do you notice he's not begrudgingly doing this? He's not going, oh, I guess, you know. No, he does it willingly. He willingly goes lovingly, self-sacrificially, dying in the place of his sheep so that the judgment that we deserve for our sin is taken on him on that cross. 2,000 years ago when he died, bearing it for us in our place. You know, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We all deserve to be up on that cross. When the two thieves are next to Jesus, one of them, you know, goes, we deserve to be here, but he doesn't. And that's right. We deserve to be up there. But Jesus says, no, I'm going to take it for you. And that's what love looks like. That's what self-sacrifice looks like. That's what care looks like. And that's the most amazing picture of love we'll ever see, because it's the most amazing picture of love there is. Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who is willing to give his life in our place for us. Do you know the Good Shepherd? Do you know what it is to be cared for by the Good Shepherd? Do you know that he loves us so much he came to give his life so that we can live? And if you don't, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from knowing the Good Shepherd who loves you, who cares deeply about you, who doesn't run away from trouble but willingly endures it for you? That's Jesus. That's what he's all about. And he's calling you to come to him. He's calling us to come to him. So come. We don't have to be perfect. We don't have to have read the whole Bible. We don't have to have come from a family that knows Jesus. All we need to do is to turn away from whatever's not of Jesus in our lives and trust the Good Shepherd who died for us and who rose again. Would you do that? Would you do that now? It's not too late. There's time. But we don't have forever. Come to Jesus. And why not let this Good Friday be the best Friday you'll ever have? And you can look back on for eternity and go, that was the moment. The Good Shepherd who had died for me, I became one of his sheep. Come to him. Surrender your life to the one who died for you to give you abundant life. Will you pray with me now? Lord Jesus, you are the great shepherd of the sheep. We come to you surrendering our lives, surrendering all that we are. We confess our sin. We ask for your mercy. We turn to you, Jesus, and we trust that you died to give us life. In Jesus' name, amen.